Hello, and welcome to I'm Sick Not Crazy, the podcast that helps you to take control of your own health and healing. My name is Jennifer James, and I'm a licensed and practicing psychotherapist here to talk about becoming your healthiest self, both physically and psychologically. Hello, and welcome back to I'm Sick Not Crazy with Jennifer James, marriage and family therapist. Good to talk to you again. This week I want to talk about the real reason that abusers abuse. Hint, it's not what you think. One of my therapeutic specialties is helping people to work through abuse trauma. I honed my skills working in a domestic violence shelter and also with child welfare services. But I find that wherever I go, abuse trauma patients follow me. While there's endless variety in the types of abuse traumas that people have experienced, as well as the severity and duration of their abuse experiences, there always seems to be one underlying theme, a sense of shame and personal responsibility. No matter how often I hear it, I never cease to be shocked by the victims of sexual abuse who tell me that they're somehow to blame for their assaults, or the survivors of domestic violence who tell me that if they just could have been better spouses, their relationships could have been saved. These people tell me that their abusers must have seen that they were inherently flawed or unworthy, and that's why they were chosen to be victims. At first, when I was very green as a therapist, I would gently tell these people that they were mistaken and that there was nothing wrong with them. But I quickly learned that the message that they were somehow to blame for what had happened to them was so deeply ingrained that they couldn't take in any message that contradicted this belief. That was when I had an epiphany about abuse. It's not an action, it's a process. Abuse is a process where the victims are slowly groomed to believe that they are at fault for their own mistreatment. It's an insidious message that starts out small and grows over time. Abusers slowly push out other supports from the lives of their victims until the only message that can be heard is, "You deserve this mistreatment because you are inherently bad and unworthy. If only you could be better, it would stop." Having victims who believe this message serves abusers in three ways. Number one, the victim is constantly trying to please the abuser. As a result, the abuser gets catered and deferred to. Depending on the type of abuse, the victim may also be afraid to contradict or stand up to the abuser, giving him or her the benefits of complete power and control over what should be a mutually beneficial relationship. Number two, it takes the blame off of the abuser for the abuse and puts it on the victim so that the abuser can feel blameless and entitled to continue the abuse. Number three, it keeps victims from leaving because they truly believe they are unworthy of respectful love and that they deserve the mistreatment that they're experiencing and that they are actually lucky that the abuser stays with them. When people tell me now about the deep sense of shame that they feel about the abuse they've suffered, I say, yes, that's the message of abuse. Abuse says that you are somehow to blame for what has happened to you, and that if you were somehow better, the abuse would stop. However, think about all that you did to try to be better and how none of it made the abuse stop. The message that you're to blame is a lie that abuse tells. Usually, they nod and say, yes, it was just like that. Once they understand the message of abuse, I explain how it benefits the abusers to get their victims to believe that they are the cause of abuse, and that's when the healing begins. There are many myths out there about abuse, and I would like to address some of them here. One, abuse doesn't happen because the abuser lost control of his or her temper. Abuse is a process. It's premeditated and thought through. Abusers behave the way they do in order to get the benefits of abuse. Two, abuse doesn't happen because of alcohol or drug use. Often, both victims and abusers will minimize abuse by saying, well, he or she was drunk, he or she wouldn't do that when sober. Often in these cases, the victim pushes the abuser to get clean, thinking that it will stop the abuse. If the abuser does get clean, the victim is often shocked that the abuse doesn't stop. What they had failed to understand was that the abuser wasn't abusing because of the substance. He or she was using the substance as an excuse to abuse and reap the benefits of the abuse listed above. Number three, victims do not enjoy being abused. They don't stay because they like it or get some kind of thrill out of it. They stay for any mixture of the following reasons. A, they truly believe they're bad people and nobody else will want them. B, they have become so isolated by the behavior of the abuser that they believe they have nowhere else to go. C, the abuser has convinced them that they cannot survive on their own. D, they are completely financially dependent on the abuser and cannot see a way to support themselves on their own. And E, the abuser has threatened to kill them, take their children, or deport them if they leave, and they're afraid that he or she will follow through on these threats. Number four, abuse can happen to anyone, regardless of race, socioeconomic status, gender, education level, or sexual orientation. It's something that happens to people just like you. If you've recognized yourself here, know that there is help for you. Even if you don't have any money or any family or friends that you can go to live with, there are shelters that will take you. The wonderful thing about going to a shelter is that they can connect you to a transitional living program. Transitional living programs are specifically designed to provide shelter, food, funding, and education for survivors of abuse so that they can rebuild their lives, including finding a career and learning how to support themselves. Don't continue to wait for things to get better. They won't. Pack a bag, take your children, and go to a shelter. Your life will immediately improve and you'll be able to take your power back. Read the book, Why Does He Do That? By Lundy Bancroft. This is the best book about abuse I've ever read. Lundy Bancroft was the director of an abuse perpetrators program, and he has firsthand knowledge about the way that abusers think. Any time that I've been working with an abuse survivor who's read this book, she or he has gathered the courage to leave and set down at least a portion of the shame that she or he had been carrying. Understanding that abusers abuse in order to get the benefits of abuse is an empowering piece of knowledge. You can also call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233. You can call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 800-656-4673. You can go to www.rain.org. RAINN, or RAIN, is the nation's largest anti-sexual violence organization, and they have resources for survivors. Survivors of childhood abuse, I recommend getting involved in your local Adult Children of Alcoholics, or ACA, organization. They don't just help the children of alcoholics. They're a 12-step organization for overcoming the effects of all types of childhood abuse. Know that you are not alone. There is help and support, and if you access it, things will get better. Thanks so much for listening. Take care, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you for listening to this week's I'm Sick Not Crazy podcast with Jennifer James, marriage and family therapist. Please remember that this podcast is educational in nature, and it's not meant to substitute for medical or psychological advice. To learn more about my work or to contact me, please visit my website at jenniferjames-author.com. And while you're there, please visit and follow my blog. Thanks so much for listening, and remember that you can take control of your own health.